Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Greetings. Good afternoon to you. Jerry Usher sitting in for Cy Kellett again today. Honored to be on the microphone here. And we've got 2 hours of Catholic Answers Live coming your way starting right now with open phone lines at 888-318-7884. Hour number two, just a little look ahead. We will have Father Jeff Kirby on with us to talk about living the Beatitudes in everyday life. So get ready for that second hour if you've got questions about the Beatitudes, what they mean. They are very, very beautiful as they're laid out there in the Gospel of Matthew. Sometimes it's a little puzzling as to what exactly they mean and their application to our lives. So be prepared for hour number two. Here in the first hour, we have Carlo Broussard. He is a staff apologist at Catholic Answers. You know him well. You hear him on the show regularly. Maybe you've seen him speak or been the beneficiary of any one of his many great faith resources. And we're going to talk about overcoming obstacles to Catholicism. Carlo, good to have you here on this first hour.
Well, it's great to be with you, Jerry. Thanks for having me.
So anyway, yeah, if there's any listeners, and we always know that there are many listeners to Catholic Answers Live who are not Catholic, who may be Protestant, who may be agnostic, atheist, people of other faith traditions completely, and you have some little bone to pick with Catholicism. You think this or that teaching or practice of the Catholic faith is just erroneous or non-scriptural or any one of a number of things, and you are most welcome to call in and interact with Carlo right now at 888-318-7884. Maybe you're somebody who's looking into the Catholic faith, but there's just that obstacle. Usually her name is Mary that just keeps you from making that final leap. If you're a fallen away Catholic and something, maybe there was something that drove you away from an embrace of the Catholic faith. So 888-318-7884. And Carlo, just to start out real basic, you know, what do you find in your work as an apologist that are some of those, you know, chief obstacles? I mentioned Mary, obviously she's one of them, but what are, if you can kind of, you know, give the core essential obstacles that people face and list those out for us.
Yeah, I think one, Jerry, in particular, is the issue of scandal, particularly scandal from priests, our spiritual fathers, and the leaders of the Catholic Church. Many will be faced with sin, that is, you know, lived out by our spiritual leaders, our spiritual fathers. And from that scandal of sin, many will say, well, I don't want to have anything to do with that church if it's going to have leaders that sin as gravely as they do, whatever it may be. In particular, the sexual abuse scandal often comes up. So that's one particular obstacle that many face when considering whether or not to become Catholic or even to remain Catholic. As you mentioned, Jerry, sometimes many Catholics fall away due to some particular obstacle that keeps them from continuing to embrace the Catholic faith. And unfortunately, while I'll acknowledge that this is a, you know, scandal is a grave, serious situation, it's not an obstacle that should keep one from becoming Catholic or continuing to remain Catholic. We have to always remember, Jerry, that, you know, as my mentor and friend Tim Staples always likes to say, you don't leave Peter because of Judas. There's always going to be a Judas in and among the flock of God. But Christ gave us St. Peter as the visible source of unity, made certain promises for St. Peter and, by way of extension, his successors, the bishops of Rome, to have the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that the gates of hell would never prevail against the church. And so we can rest assured that Peter and his successors and the church as a whole has these promises of Christ to always, for Christ always to be present with the church until the end of age, that whatever the church teaches will be ratified by heaven itself. So we can take it to the bank and know that by virtue of this divine element of the church, that there is a divine origin, there is a promise of the Holy Spirit to protect the church and lead it into truth always, we can rest assured that it will never lead us astray. But that's distinct from the human dimension of the church, where even the leaders, even those who possess the very offices of ministry that Christ invested the church and constituted the church with, are going to be sinful human beings, just like the first apostles were sinners as well. But just because they're sinners, it doesn't take away from the objective reality of these official ministries that Christ built his church with, namely the apostolic office and those, the bishopric, those who would succeed the apostles, the bishops and the presbyters, who are men that the bishops ordain, namely the priests. So we have to always be mindful to make this distinction between the divine element of the church and the human element. If we follow the logic that, well, I shouldn't be a Catholic because of all this sin and the sinful leaders, well, then we would have to cease to be a Christian, because the original leaders of the church, namely the apostles, were all sinners. They all left Jesus hanging on the cross except John. But just because they failed our Lord in moral issues and morality and failing to live up to the Christian standard, it doesn't follow from that they don't have the authority to guide, to govern us, and to lead us, an authority given to them by Christ. So too, we apply that same reasoning today within the Catholic Church. So the scandal of sin among our leaders is one particular obstacle, and there are many, for example, many others. For example, the Catholic Church's claim that we have the fullness of truth and grace. The fullness of truth and grace subsists within the Catholic Church. For many, that's an obstacle. This sort of exclusive claim that the Catholic Church is the one way of Christianity, the fullness of Christianity, and being the way to salvation. And many, unfortunately, make false conclusions based upon that claim, thinking that, well, that means no truth is outside the Catholic Church. That means no grace is outside the Catholic Church, which is a false conclusion. That's simply wrong to conclude from the claim that the Catholic Church is the fullness of truth and grace for salvation. So that's one obstacle that many face that I think can be overcome, because once you understand that, yes, the Catholic Church is the fullness of truth and grace that Christ came to give us, there are elements of truth and grace outside the visible boundaries of the church. Granted, mixed with error, but nevertheless, there are seeds of the gospel. There are means of grace outside the visible boundaries of the church. But that grace, that truth, comes ultimately from the Catholic Church, the mystical body of Christ.
Carlo Broussard here, talking about overcoming obstacles to Catholicism. Phone number, we have lines open. Many are being filled and screened as we speak. We'll get to your calls in a few moments. 1-888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We can talk sacraments. We can talk liturgy. We can certainly talk, scripture. We can talk authority, issues of authority, especially regarding the Pope. A lot of questions concerning Mary. Again, keep people from being able to fully appreciate and embrace what the Catholic Church teaches. Many other things. We can talk Bible passages. If there's something in the Bible that maybe you think doesn't quite square up with a Catholic belief or practice, 888-318-7884 is the number to call. Carlo, I know that when we're talking about obstacles to Catholicism, you mentioned the scandal of sin, and then there are, so that's more of a moral, that's kind of on the moral plane.
Right.
And then what about on the theological level? We mentioned Mary, but other than Mary, I mean, I think it was Scott Hahn who once said, when he was fighting his way into the Catholic Church or from becoming Catholic, the three issues for him were Mary, Mary, and Mary. So we know that Our Lady, the Church's teachings on Mary are certainly sometimes confusing to non-Catholics. But beyond that, is it authority? Is it the sacraments? Is it the rituals of the Church? What are some of the more, obvious objections that people might have?
Yeah, well, it's interesting you bring up Mary, because this past weekend I attended the Bishop Barron and Dr. William Lane Craig conversation event in Claremont, just up the road here. And, it was very funny, because Bishop Barron, in good humor, asked Dr. Craig, why aren't you Catholic? And Dr. Craig responded, just simply because I don't believe certain things that the Catholic Church believes. And one of those was Mary. That was the first, at least Mary's Immaculate Conception. that was the first on his list. But then he also brought up a very important theological issue, namely the idea of justification and the nature of justification. He asserted that he believes in a forensic view of justification as opposed to what some theologians refer to as an intrinsic view. So the view that Craig was promoting was this idea that God legally declares us extrinsically to be justified, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're transformed within and made holy within the soul. Whereas the intrinsic view of justification, which is the Catholic view, is that when God declares us to be just, we are actually made just within, ontologically speaking. Like, the very nature of our soul becomes cleansed of the guilt of original sin. We're made holy, rather than being, you know, dung covered by snow, to use a metaphor from Martin Luther, the dung is actually transformed and we become white as snow. So that's one particular issue of theology that may very well be and is an obstacle for many of our Protestant brothers and sisters. And then, of course, it all boils down to authority, Jerry. I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, what is our authority here on earth to guide and to lead the flock of God? Is it Scripture alone, or is it Scripture, sacred tradition, and ultimately the magisterium, which is the servant of these two means by which God's divine revelation is transmitted to us? And so that would be the Catholic view, looking to the magisterium as our guide and the official interpreter of both sacred scripture and sacred tradition, this sort of three-legged stool of authority, you might say. So fundamentally, I think it all boils down to that, and that is often an obstacle for our Protestant brothers and sisters, because they may very well not see in the biblical texts, in the New Testament, the witness of the New Testament documents, this sort of three-legged stool approach or this blueprint present in Scripture.
Very good. Well, we're going to take a quick pause here on Catholic Answers Live and then get to your phone calls. Robin, you will be first. Bob in Massachusetts will be right after that. And we have an open phone line here. Obstacles to Catholicism, how to overcome them. If you are someone who is really sincerely looking and thinking, and quite frankly, you just you cannot agree with this or that Catholic teaching, belief, practice, what have you, it's a really safe place to call and have a conversation about whatever your concerns might be. Carlo Broussard, a staff apologist at Catholic Answers, will be happy to dialogue with you about whatever your concern or obstacle might be at 888-318-7884. Calls are coming right up. Stay with us.
Don't you just love listening to Carlo Broussard? Did you know you can book Carlo or any of our other great speakers to speak at your parish or special event? Contact one of our seminar coordinators through the Speakers Bureau section on Catholic.com today to find out more information.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here with a couple of very special offers for all of you interested in standing up for the rights of the unborn. January is Pro-Life Month, and to get as many people as we can involved in the pro-life cause, we're making my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, and my DVD, Making the Case for Life, available for just $5 each. That's a saving of over 70%. I wrote this book and I made this DVD specifically with you in mind, to help you engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue and give you the tools you need to change people's hearts and minds, so that together we might build up a pro-life culture, one person, one conversation at a time. To get your copies of my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, or my DVD, Making the Case for Life, for just $5, call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com.
Atheists have a new tactic when it comes to talking about the existence of God. Your arguments in favor of God don't even deserve a reply, they say. Because not only does God not exist, He doesn't even matter. In his new DVD, Why God Still Matters, apologist Carlo Broussard doesn't let them off so easy. He takes apart the premises of those who say God's irrelevant and teaches you what you need to demonstrate why God is just as important. In fact, in today's world, more important than ever. Don't let atheists shut down the argument before it begins. Get your copy of Why God Still Matters by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Great to have you tuned in. I am Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett today. And again, as I mentioned yesterday, on many of these affiliates, you will catch my program, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, my co-host Debbie Giorgiani, at noon Eastern, and a replay at midnight Eastern time on EWTN Radio and many of the affiliates. Catholic Answers Live. Of course, there are no Catholic Answers without your great questions, and we're going to get to those right now. For Carlo Broussard, we're going to Waynesville, Ohio first. Robin, thank you for calling Catholic Answers Live, and we're happy to help you. What can we do for you, Robin?
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I first would like to say I'm not Catholic, but I do feel that I have a lot in common with many of Catholic beliefs, especially when it comes to sanctity of life.
Okay.
And I would just like to know how to communicate with my Catholic friends when they embrace a worldview as far as accepting abortion. It really hurts my heart when I see people of the Catholic faith and they are for it. They are for, you know, things like that and homosexuality and other things that happen in the world. They just seem to be more liberal than I would expect. So I would just like to know if you could help me as a non-Catholic be able to open doors of communication with Catholic people, especially in my workplace, when these world matters come up in conversation.
Yeah, well, Robin, this is a great question, and I would be in the same boat as you to say it breaks my heart when I hear fellow Catholic brothers and sisters who embrace a worldview that is fundamentally directly opposed to not just the Catholic Church's teaching on the issues, but the teachings of Jesus himself, and not even just the teachings of God's revelation that he reveals to us supernaturally, but even things that we can know by the natural light of human reason and light of the natural law. So in response to my Catholic brothers and sisters, I would fundamentally, first of all, ask them, well, do you know what the Church teaches on these matters? Because it may very well be that they've just simply been misinformed by some priest who may have been misinformed or may have malicious intentions to oppose the Church. So we don't know where they're coming from. So that's the first question. Do you know what the Church teaches on these issues? And if they don't, well, then you proceed to give them the evidence from magisterial documents, which is just simply official documents of the Catholic Church, where the Catholic Church condemns abortion as intrinsically evil and condemns sexual activity between members of the same sex as intrinsically evil. And the first place you want to go there is the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It's very easy to find its sections on abortion and on sexual activity between members of the same sex and how the Church views these sorts of behaviors and viewing them as intrinsically evil. So you can appeal to the authority of the Catholic Church and say, okay, well, this is what your Church teaches, and then hopefully they would conform to what the Church teaches. And if they still seek to disagree with what the Catholic Church teaches in her official capacity, well, then you could then further ask them, well, why don't you agree with what the Church is teaching? And try to figure out the reasons why they think abortion is okay, why they think sexual activity between members of the same sex is okay. And then that would set up an opportunity to begin addressing those fundamental reasons why they're making their conclusions. So what are some resources that you could look to help you engage in that sort of dialogue? Well, I would recommend my friend and colleague's book, entitled Persuasive Pro-Life, which I know Jerry after a while is going to be talking about. We have some special deals going on with that where Trent Horn teaches you how to explain to someone by the natural light of human reason why abortion is wrong. Fundamentally because it's committing the act of murder, killing an innocent human being. And then with regard to sexual activity among members of the same sex, you can look to our website, Catholic.com. I have some articles for our online magazine that deal with nature's blueprint, you might say, for human sexuality and reasons why we ought to reverence nature's blueprint for human sexuality. So that would be a start of some resources that you could go to begin looking at these issues. And then fundamentally, if they're still professing Christianity, you want to appeal to sacred scripture. You want to appeal to Jesus himself and what he says about marriage, for example, in Matthew chapter 19, where he says, in the beginning, God created male and female. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So according to Jesus, appealing to the original design for human marriage, to the beginning, that marriage is between one man and one woman. So that's looking to Jesus as an authority for marriage. And then, of course, we can look to God's revelation in sacred scripture of his prohibition of taking the life of an innocent human being. And given the fact that the baby in the womb of a mother is indeed a human being, to take the life of that innocent human being would be subject to the condemnation of murder. So these are various paths that I think we can take to try and evangelize, unfortunately, our brothers and sisters who claim to be Catholic, who unfortunately embrace a worldview that contradicts what the Catholic Church teaches.
Well, that is a wealth of information. I thoroughly appreciate you talking to me this evening.
You're welcome, Robin. And you can always check out the archived podcasts that'll go up on our website tomorrow in order to jot down some of the resources that I listed here.
All right, Robin,
thank you so much. You have a great evening.
Thank you too. Yeah, bless you, Robin. You have a great heart, great spirit there, and thanks for your concern about that. 888-318-7884, Overcoming Obstacles to Catholicism. We're going to go to Bob next in Springfield, Mass., listening on the EWTN app. Bob, welcome aboard to Catholic Answers Live with Carlo Broussard. How are you?
Yes, Carlos, thank you so much. You know, I was listening. I'm not Catholic, by the way, but I love a lot about the Catholic faith.
Okay.
However, I do feel that, I call to talk about Mary not being ever virgin and also about the Pope Benedict and the sex scandal with Marcel and how he didn't stand up for it. But I can't help but comment on Robin's thought, because I'm not Catholic and I can see, you know, there's, with all charity, you know, there's a dysfunction and a sickness at the top of the Catholic faith, and that the bishops who lay hands on people, because, you know, I brought up more fundamental, so we're all about being born again, Holy Spirit filled, and so we have the Holy Spirit where we have overcoming power and sin killing power, not on our own, but because, you know, Christ lives within us.
Sure.
And again, it's with charity that I say that, you know, it's a little toxic or something at the top, because, you know, I've been to Catholic services where they have the confirmation, and while I was on hold, they talked about the Paul discipleship or the Peter discipleship program that you have going on. So part of the church realizes that when the bishop lays his hands on these children and tries to impose the Holy Spirit into them, and when you baptize in the faith and you have First Communion, that you're not getting that power. Your bishops don't have the power to give out. Many of your bishops and priests aren't born again and Holy Spirit filled. Okay. The reason I say that, because he lives in me.
Okay.
So when I meet somebody, I can tell, not all the time, but I can a lot of times tell the Holy Spirit. I can recognize them.
Okay.
So when I meet these people, and then going back to Robin, you know, like Pope Francis, you said go to sacred scripture, and I agree with you. When we go to Mary, being ever virgin, I like to go to sacred scripture rather than tradition. But when the Pope comes over and says don't judge, and he sees his North American church having same-sex marriage, and he doesn't come out and really speak out to it and really tell his bishops and archbishops, you have to fight this. I mean, 10 years ago or 5 years ago, they should have been pushing their faith. And when you talk to a Catholic, they say, are you Christian? Oh, no, I'm Catholic. So that
okay.
Right there, they don't have the level of the Holy Spirit in them without charity.
Okay, you know, I understand, Bob.
That their Protestant brothers have. When you go see Matthew Kelly, I go see Matthew Kelly. He says, "When was the last time somebody like talked to you about such and such?" You know, and okay. I said, "Well, the last time the priest spoke to me, right?" And then you know he kind of poo-pooed that because he realizes the priests aren't doing their job.
Okay. So.
Hey, Bob, excuse me, Carlo, I need to jump in. We've got the hard break coming up here in about 35 seconds or so.
Okay.
So, Bob, hang on. You have laid a lot on the table there, and I'm sure Carlo has some great things to share with you in response to all of that. Your concerns are legitimate. They are being heard. Believe me, we care about what you're thinking and what you're feeling. You sound like a wonderful man of God, and Carlo is going to impart some wisdom from a Catholic standpoint to you next, Bob, so stay with us. Archie, Eric, Stephen, and Jeff, and the others, it's Overcoming Obstacles to Catholicism today on Catholic Answers Live.
Call now, Catholic Answers Live.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
You know, I didn't want to hurt my child. It's not what was happening in my mind at that time. It was just all the fear and the panic. And you've got Planned Parenthood telling you it's not a baby, and it just gets all so confusing. But I'm here to speak out that the aftermath of abortion is not worth it, because I cry every day for my children.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Did the Catholic Church add books to the Bible? Or did Protestants remove 7 books from the Old Testament? Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger takes you on a fact-filled tour through the history of the Bible, revealing the whole story behind the lost books of the Protestant Old Testament. With the latest information and discourse on crucial issues, Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger is a book that belongs in the library of every serious student of Scripture. And as a special bonus, if you order online, we'll add an ebook copy of 15 Myths, Mistakes, and Misrepresentations about the Deuterocanon to your order absolutely free. Get your free ebook today. Order your copy of Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger by logging on to our online shop at shop.catholic.com.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here with a very special offer for all of you interested in standing up for the rights of the unborn. January is Pro-Life Month, and to get as many people as we can involved in the pro-life cause, we're making my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, available for just $5 a copy. That's a savings of over 70%. I wrote this book specifically with you in mind, to help you engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue, and give you the tools you need to change people's hearts and minds, so that together, we might build up a pro-life culture, one person, one conversation at a time. To get your copies of my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, for just $5 a copy, call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com.
Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett today. We're going to go back to Bob in a second, but Carlo, you reminded me a minute ago with Robin's question about life, you know, abortion and so forth. I've got to make a mention of this incredible, folks, it's an astounding offer, really, from Catholic Answers that if you don't take advantage of here in the month of January, it may never be available to you again. January is Sanctity of Life Month, and for the entire month, Catholic Answers is making Trent Horn's book, Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, and his video, DVD, it's Making the Case for Life. Each is available for about it's $5 each, and that is a savings of 70%, 70% off the normal price. And these are some of the best resources you will find anywhere to equip yourself to answer questions put to you from those who support abortion, including, tragically sometimes, our Catholic brothers and sisters who might be a little confused on this or perhaps even in favor of something like abortion. So go to Catholic.com, the shop there, or call 888-291-8000. And again, you're saving $12 to $15 each on these resources, but for a limited time. So it's 888-291-8000 or shop.catholic.com. Okay, Carlo, Bob has put a lot out there for you there. Yeah. So take a swing at some of this stuff.
Yeah, well, I think one of the major issues that seemed to be an obstacle for Bob was this idea that, number one, perhaps there are Catholics out there, which they are, who might not be manifesting sort of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe they're not living a life of Christianity. So the claim was, you know, and then also the claim was extended to our leadership and bishops who aren't manifesting the fruits of the Holy Spirit perhaps in their lives, and priests as well, and therefore concluding from that they don't have the power invested to them by Christ to administer the Holy Spirit in the sacrament of confirmation or to change bread and wine into Jesus Christ. So I think that was a key issue for Bob, and I'd like to speak to that. So Bob, if you're still listening, was that the gist of the issue without going into it in further detail? The idea that our bishops and priests aren't maybe perhaps manifesting the fruits of the Holy Spirit, so how could they have the Holy Spirit to give in some of our sacraments?
Sure, that's one of the things I called initially about.
Right, I know, but that was the majority of what you were talking about prior to the break. So let me just speak to that very briefly. It is true, I would not disagree with you, that one bishop may be holier than another bishop. One Catholic may be holier than another. And not only somebody not being less holy than another, but a bishop or a priest or a Catholic just outright being an immoral person and not living up to the standard of Christianity. No disagreement there. Some manifest the presence of the Holy Spirit more so than others. But I would point this out. Just because an official minister of Christ's church on earth fails to manifest the Holy Spirit in his life, it doesn't follow from that he doesn't have a unique, specific authority invested to him by virtue of his ministerial office. You see, it presupposes the understanding of what the ministry is. In the New Testament, the ministry of the apostles and the men that they would ordain to be bishops was not merely a charismatic gift, something that would die with them when they died, or something that wouldn't be present with them if they were immoral individual human beings. These were institutional offices that Christ established within his church. We see this, for example, in Acts 20. There's a succession of Judas with Matthias, and the Greek word used there is episkopos. We see that office continues in 1 Timothy chapter 3, where Paul is talking about the office of the bishop. Paul and Barnabas appoint presbyters in various local churches. So we see that there is an institutional office to the apostolic office, the bishops who succeed them, as well as the presbyteroi, the presbyters. So even though the ministers themselves were sinners, failing to live up to the Christian standard at times, it didn't take away from their unique authority by virtue of possessing the institutional office that they had. For example, Christ told Peter he had the keys of the kingdom of heaven, made him the visible source of unity, but yet in Galatians 2:11, Paul confronts him for failing to live up to the standard of teaching that he proclaimed at the Council of Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15. All of the apostles were sinners, but that didn't take away from their apostolic authority. So too, when we have a bishop or a priest who's failing to live up to Catholic teaching and the gospel standard of living, it doesn't follow from that they don't have the unique authority invested to them by virtue of their ordination, whether to the presbyterate or to the episcopate. Now, Bob, I realize that is a lot, and we would have to talk about whether or not Christ instituted such a hierarchical ministry, such as the bishopric and the presbyterate. But if that is the case, well, then the sinner of the sinfulness of the minister would in no way undermine the objective reality of the authority that they have to communicate certain blessings, such as the Holy Spirit and confirmation, to change bread and wine into Jesus, to administer the forgiveness of sins and the sacrament of confession, etc. So that's what I would say in response to that. Now, I know you had a lot of other things, but Jerry, I don't know if we can keep going or if we have to go to another call.
Well, Bob, please accept our apologies here, but yeah, we've got absolutely full phone lines, and I know you called. You had some issues regarding Mary and so forth. You are always, by the way, anybody is welcome to call Catholic Answers off the air during business hours Monday through Friday at 619-387-7200. And Bob, you will get an apologist on the phone with you, a live man or woman on staff at Catholic Answers, and you can voice any concerns that you might have. They'll take as much time as you would like. Hopefully you understand that during the radio show, especially we just have Carlo for 1 hour today, we want to serve some of the other callers here. But Bob, feel free to do that. And by the way, look up, go to Catholic.com and do a search for any Marian teaching that the Catholic Church embraces, and you will find a lot of resources there. So, Bob, please, we're going to move on, but do call the office, 619-387-7200. Got to get over to Archie next in Westby, Montana. Hello, Archie. Thanks for waiting. You're now on Catholic Answers Live with Carlo Broussard.
Hi.
Hi, Archie.
Hi, Archie. Yep. What can we do for you?
Well, I don't know if this is an obstacle or not, but I'm just wondering what you guys mean, what the Catholics mean by Christ, that we're Christ's brother.
Okay. All right, so in our Catholic tradition, we do refer to Jesus as our elder brother, right? And the reason is, Archie, is because by virtue of grace, as St. Paul teaches in his writings, we have become adopted sons and daughters of the Father. Jesus is the Son of God by nature, right? We become sons and daughters of God the Father by virtue of grace. We are adopted into this covenantal, familial relationship with God. So inasmuch as we are, as St. Paul would say, co-heirs with Christ, we are adopted sons and daughters, receiving an inheritance from the Father, namely eternal life, a sharing in the Blessed Trinity of the divine life, of the Blessed Trinity. So inasmuch as we are adopted sons and daughters, adopted children of God, and Jesus is the Son of God, we have this familial bond with Jesus. We can look to him as our brother. Now, granted, that in no way is meant to take away from his divinity. He is our God. We worship him. We adore him. But because we are adopted into the family of God, and Jesus is the Son of God, then we can look to Jesus as our elder brother. So that's one way of looking at it. But also, too, by virtue of Jesus becoming man, by virtue of the incarnation, Jesus is the perfect man. He is, the epitome of what it is to be a human being, okay? So inasmuch as Jesus is human, taking upon himself a human nature, we can look to him as our eldest brother, the perfect human being that we should emulate and imitate, etc. So by virtue of these two ways of looking at it, we can refer to Jesus as our brother, by virtue of our adopted sonship, and then also by virtue of our humanity and Christ having fully a human nature.
Does that help, Archie?
Yeah, that sounds just absolutely perfect to me.
Okay.
Could I just say one more thing?
Okay, go ahead, Archie.
Yeah, real quick.
Go
ahead.
Okay. When they ask Jesus, how do you pray? He told them, he said, don't do it like the Pharisees do, where they go out and be seen in the street, but go by yourself alone in a closet, right?
Okay, yes, he does speak of that in the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah, and then he says, go alone in a closet, and here's how you pray. And then that's when the Lord's Prayer came out. And
correct.
The Lord's Prayer starts with the word our. So if you're alone in a closet and you're saying our Father, then it seems like it must be you and Christ together praying to the Father.
Well, yeah, you bring up an interesting point. Theologians have reflected upon the fact that Jesus tells us to pray our Father, but the our refers to all of Christians praying together to the Father. That's what the Our Father refers to. So we are to pray Our Father. That is, it's your Father, my Father. Together we pray Our Father. But when Jesus prays to the Father, you know, Jesus doesn't join into the Our Father in the same way, because his relationship to the Father is very, very, very much different than our relationship to the Father. I hinted at it a while ago when I mentioned we are adopted sons and daughters of God by grace. So we refer to him as Father in light of the revelation of his fatherhood to us through the covenant and the family of God. But Jesus is son to the Father, not by grace or adoption, but by nature in the eternal processions of the Blessed Trinity. So the Our Father prayer is a prayer that's unique to us as creatures of God. It's unique to us as adopted sons and daughters of God. Now, the praying in privacy there, Jesus does tell us to go into private and to pray the Our Father. But just keep in mind, for our listeners' sake, that in no way takes away from the public dimension of prayer that we are called to engage in as Christians as well.
All right, Archie, thank you for your great questions on Catholic Answers Live. More of them are coming up here with Carlo Broussard, Overcoming Obstacles to Catholicism, 888-318-7884. Again, a reminder, in the second hour, Father Jeff Kirby will join us, and he is going to be talking about living the Beatitudes in everyday life, those beautiful Beatitudes that we see in the Gospel of Matthew. And we sometimes, you know, we hear them, we pray them, and we sometimes might wonder, you know, how are these actually applied in my everyday life? So we're going to talk about that. Get your questions ready for Father Kirby in the second hour. But again, more of your great questions for Carlo on Overcoming Obstacles to Catholicism straight ahead here on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
January is Pro-Life Month, and to get as many people as we can involved in the pro-life cause, we're making Trent Horn's book, Persuasive Pro-Life, available for just $5 a copy. That's a savings of over 70%. This book was made specifically with you in mind, to help you engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue, and to give you the tools you need to change people's hearts and minds, so that together we might build up a pro-life culture, one person, one conversation at a time. To get your copies of the book Persuasive Pro-Life for just $5 each, call 1-888-291-8000. Or visit the shop at Catholic.com.
It may be true for you, but not for me. How often have you heard this during a discussion with friends or family? Whether talking about faith, morality, politics, or just the basic notion of truth, so many people are captive to the notion of relativism, the belief that reality is something we decide. In his new audio presentation, Your Truth, My Truth, apologist Carlo Broussard breaks down this intellectual cancer, looking at the different kinds of relativism we regularly encounter and demonstrating how, ultimately, they collapse under the weight of their own incoherence. More importantly, Carlo makes a powerful case for the existence of objective truth, showing you how to explain to others that right and wrong are both real and universal, because it was designed that way by God. Order your copy of Your Truth, My Truth by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Sanctity of Life Month. Again, a quick reminder about the offer being made available by Catholic Answers at the shop, shop.catholic.com, or 888-291-8000. Trent Horn has, I said this yesterday, Carlo, he has decades of experience in college campuses and dialoguing about abortion and so forth in a very gentle, charitable, persuasive way. And Tim Staples reminded me, he says, Trent's only 33. So maybe not decades of experience, but he has a lot of experience. And folks, it's time-tested, because when you're out there really on the front lines, you gain a perspective and a wisdom and just nuggets of insight that are so valuable. And Trent's book, Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, and his DVD, Making the Case for Life, are both now available at just $5 each. So I really, like I did yesterday, I encourage those of you who are listening, get a copy of each one for yourself. And then, you know, pop for a few more, because at $5 a copy, you can afford to give these away. And who knows, it could change a mind, a heart, and an eternal destiny for a soul, and save some little unborn lives as well. So you'll find these at 888-291-8000 or the shop at Catholic.com. 70% off the regular price, $5 each. All right, back to your great questions for Carlo Broussard, Overcoming Obstacles to Catholicism. We're going to Austin, Texas. Stephen has us on YouTube watching Catholic Answers Live. Hi, Stephen. Welcome.
Hi. Nice to talk with you guys.
Likewise.
I have a friend who's a Protestant, and one of his obstacles to the Catholic faith was justification by faith and works, or justification by faith alone.
Okay.
And I try to convince him about justification by works using James 2, in particular James 2:24,
okay,
where it says we are justified by works and not by faith alone. And we seem to have come to a stalemate, because he says that when James uses the word justified, he only means as evidence of. And he points me to Romans 4, where it says that if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. And then it continues, now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. And I'm just having a problem, like, reconciling those two scriptures and convincing him. So how would you go about and doing that?
All right. Well, first of all, concerning James chapter 2, verse 24, I actually recently wrote an article, Stephen, that you might want to check out on our website at Catholic.com, entitled Why James Says Faith Without Works is Dead. And in the article, I respond to the claim that when James is talking about justification, he's talking about justification not in the sight of God, but in the sight of men. And so I go through an explanation of why that claim is false, and it doesn't stand up to the scrutiny when you look at James's text in light of the context. One reason why we know that James is not merely talking about justification in the sight of men is because if you look in the context, Stephen, in verses 14 through 17, James asks the question, can faith without works save him? He's talking about salvation, which has to do being justified in the sight of God. And the type of works he's referring to are the corporal works of mercy, feeding the hungry, and clothing the naked. And then secondly, a second line of reasoning, Stephen, is that notice James compares justification to the justification of Abraham when he offered his son Isaac as a sacrifice. That's the example that James looks to for his teaching about we are justified by works and not by faith alone. And when you look at the example and you read the narrative of Abraham, there's no body for Abraham to be justified in the sight of. Abraham was justified in the sight of God. So those are two lines of argument that I would use in order to show that the type of justification James is talking about in James 2 is not a justification in the sight of men, but it's a justification in the sight of God. And so thus, the teaching that we are justified by works and not by faith alone stands. And keep in mind, Stephen, one point you always want to make is that you want to emphasize the stage of justification that James is saying works applies to. James is not talking about the initial stage of justification in James chapter 2. That's something we as Catholics believe that works have nothing to do with. When we receive the initial grace of conversion by God and we are initially justified, which we know ordinarily happens through the sacrament of baptism, no works are involved there. When works come into play, and what the stage of justification that James is referring to is the ongoing and future dimensions of justification, where we're currently, presently being justified, increasing in justice or righteousness in the sight of God as we perform these good works of mercy or love. And then ultimately, we persevere unto the end, as Jesus says in Matthew 22, in order to be saved. Now, concerning Romans 4, Stephen, we have to look within the entire context of the epistle to Romans, particularly Romans chapter 3, verse 28, when he says we're justified by faith and not by works of the law. And then he goes on within the immediate context to talk about whether God is God of the Jews or both God of the Jews only or both God of the Jews and the Gentiles. Then in Romans chapter 4, he's talking about Abraham's faith when he was justified before circumcision. So the whole context of Romans chapter 3 and 4 is all about being justified in the sight of God apart from circumcision, precisely because Paul is dealing with a first century heretical sect known as the Judaizers, who were saying that you had to be circumcised and be a Jew first and hold fast to the old Mosaic law, those type of works, in order to be justified. And Paul's saying, no, it is not by going to the old covenant and holding fast to the old ceremonial precepts by which we are justified. We are justified by faith. And this was the issue that was dealt with at the Council of Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15. So Paul is referring to a particular kind of works that we are no longer justified by, namely the works of law, as he says in Romans 3:28, those particular ceremonial precepts such as circumcision. But the type of works that James is referring to are works of love, or what we call in our Catholic tradition, corporal works of mercy, those works of love that attend to the physical needs of an individual. The type of justifications that they're referring to, James is referring to the ongoing and future dimensions of justification. Paul is referring to that initial stage of justification. So those are different approaches that we can take to try and explain these and reconcile these texts with one another.
Is that helpful, Stephen?
Thank you. That was great.
Okay. Yeah, and sure, Stephen, to check out, once again, our website, Catholic.com. We have many articles for free that you can read online that some of our apologists have authored that deal with the nature of justification and the relationship between faith and works and how to reconcile these passages. I know for sure my colleagues and friends Tim Staples and Jimmy Akin have several articles on these topics.
All right, thank you, Stephen, for the call, and sincere apologies to Anonymous in Little Rock and Jeff in Hobe Sound, Florida. Eric in Ogden, we are just up against the clock here and got to get ready for hour number two with Father Jeff Kirby, living the Beatitudes in everyday life. But Carlo, just wanted to save a quick second here because I'm excited, and I'm sure you are, as the author of a forthcoming book that is somewhat related to what we're discussing today.
Yeah, that's right. So today's topic is overcoming obstacles to Catholicism, and that's basically the fifth part of my forthcoming book in the spring entitled Prepare the Way, How to Overcome Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. So it's basically, how can I believe in truth when so many people believe different things, right? And so I coach the reader how to remove that obstacle and various other obstacles to truth. I also help individuals who are reading the book to help unbelievers overcome obstacles to God, to overcome obstacles or to remove obstacles to Jesus, Christianity as a religion, and then finally, the church. And Jerry, the motif is John the Baptist, right? Prepare the way of the Lord, making straight the paths of our Lord. And the idea is that as Christ comes bearing the gifts of truth and life, we're called as Catholics to go out and to help individuals remove those obstacles that may be stopping Jesus from bringing those gifts of truth in life. So we want to make that path of our Lord as straight as possible, removing obstacles to truth, God, Jesus, Christianity, and the church.
All right. Well, folks, get ready and be sure you order a copy of that book when it becomes available. Thank you, Carlo. And by the way, Carlo is available to come out and speak at parishes, conferences, missions, you name it. So, Carlo, great working with you again.
It was a pleasure, Jerry.
Too long in between opportunities, but I really enjoy it all the time. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend.
All right. Father Jeff Kirby is with us next hour. You can begin calling right now at 888-318-7884. I was going to give the shop number, which is 888-291-8000 for that wonderful offer on Trent Horn's resources. 70% off Sanctity of Life Month, $5 a piece for Trent's great book and his DVD. And again, Father Jeff Kirby will talk about living the Beatitudes in everyday life. So we're going to talk about that with your participation at 888-318-7884. You can get your call in the queue right now. We're coming back with hour number two. Don't go away.